This is WUOT. I'm Chrissy Kuiper. A history lesson. William Blount, arguably the father of the state of Tennessee, was the first and as yet only member of the federal legislature to be impeached. We visited Blount Mansion in downtown Knoxville and spoke with Christopher Magra, who teaches early American history at the University of Tennessee, and Stuart Harris, who teaches constitutional law at Lincoln Memorial University Duncan School of Law, about Blount and his impeachment. We're sitting in the early office of William Blount, who was a signer of the Constitution on behalf of North Carolina. And it's also the room in which he drafted the Constitution of the state of Tennessee.
He was a real estate speculator and a politician. His biographer refers to him as a real estate speculator first and a politician second. His primary interest is in profiting from the buying and selling of lands along the western frontier.
Is that how he ended up in Tennessee?
That's how he ended up in Tennessee. So he's born and raised in North Carolina and is investing in real estate, joins the Continental Congress, and supports giving western lands to veterans of the American Revolution in lieu of payment. And that's where a controversy starts with Blount. It doesn't end there, but it starts there because he uses his position in the Continental Congress to make it more difficult for veterans to actually get that land so that they will sell it to him. And he buys hundreds of thousands of acres of land along the western frontier from veterans who are too poor to do otherwise. The Blount family, his biographer estimates that they purchased over 3 million acres of land. An enormous amount of land. He kept buying and buying throughout his entire life, right up until the end, right up until 1800. He's bankrupt. Creditors are sending a posse after him, and he continues to buy western lands, oftentimes on credit. That gets him further and further in the hole. He reaches a point in his life at the end where he's so desperate that he conspires with members of foreign governments to try to take over Louisiana and Florida to gain access to even more land. It's almost a fever for him, I think.
I was going to say an obsession. Well, you said he's a controversial figure. He is beloved for coming up with the Constitution for the state of Tennessee. Are there other reasons that he's popular?
Yes. Throughout our early history, land is a very important part of the American dream. It's why people come here from different parts of the world, indenture themselves, will sell themselves for 4 to 7 years to get here in the hopes of one day owning land. As a real estate speculator, as a politician, Blount defends the interests of landowners on the frontier from all comers, even eventually the United States government. He defends those interests. And so the people who are on the frontier love him and respect him for doing that.
Well, let's talk about why he was impeached. As yet, he is the only member of Congress overall to have ever been impeached. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, Chrissy. And by the way, Chris, I refer to Blount as our founding scoundrel. He always placed his own interests ahead of that of his constituents or of the nation as a whole. He got impeached because of what Chris mentioned there, we commonly call the Blount Conspiracy. You have to understand that agricultural lands are valuable to the extent that you can bring the goods to market. And so western lands in Tennessee or Alabama, they all had to have access one way or the other to a tributary of the Mississippi River. And ultimately, river traffic needed to flow unimpeded. Now, under the Spanish, which was a weak and declining empire, that pretty much worked out. But the Spanish had just lost a war to the French in the Pyrenees War. And they were on the verge, people thought, France was, of coming and taking over New Orleans. Well, that was pretty prescient. They did eventually. The concern was they would cut off traffic on the Mississippi. And speculators saw this coming. And so that's why the value of Blount's land plummeted. So he went to the British, who were not our friends at this time. And he suggested that they come and take over these Spanish settlements. While he would bring his own militia, basically using it as his personal army, and would fight in conjunction with the British to take over these areas. Just about the time that Blount went to Philadelphia as one of Tennessee's first two senators, they found out about it more or less at the same time he arrived. And when George Washington found out about this, I believe he said he was the most detestable of men and that everybody should condemn him. So he had essentially conspired with a foreign power who was potentially hostile to us, interfering with U.S. foreign affairs for his own personal benefit. And this was, Washington said, the blackest crime one could commit.
And it becomes a political football, too, because Washington's a Federalist. John Adams is a Federalist. They don't like Great Britain for reasons that stretch back to the American Revolutionary War and our independence from Great Britain. And so they personally resent Blunt's attempt to negotiate this deal with Great Britain to take Florida and take Louisiana with British military aid. And they also resent actions taken on the frontier that will involve and implicate the United States government. The United States government, like the British government, want to stay out of frontier troubles, which are always costly and always end up in bloodshed. And so this becomes a little bit of a political football where Adams, as a Federalist, and Washington as a Federalist, through the mid and later 1790s, resent Blunt's anti-Federalist position. So his impeachment is also a result of political rivalries.
This had all gotten to John Adams through a letter that Blunt himself had written, not very wise of him, outlining the whole conspiracy. Adams sends it over to the Senate. Literally, Blunt passes the messenger as he goes out for a walk that day, and when Blunt comes back from his walk, everybody looks at him because they've just read the letter aloud, and then they read it aloud again, and they say, "Did you write this?" And he said, "I'm not sure. Can you give me a day?" And they gave him a day, and he came back, and he still wasn't sure. And eventually, the chronology stretched out a little bit more than this. But eventually, the House of Representatives, which also gets a copy, impeaches him. Now, remember, an impeachment is simply an accusation. Well, there are a couple of problems with that. First of all, correct me on the chronology here, Chris, if I get it wrong, but I believe the Senate had already expelled Blunt at that point.
5 days after Adams provided the Senate with this letter demanding impeachment, and Adams had taken under advisement with the Attorney General that impeachment meant getting rid of somebody you didn't like. And this is the first time this is all going on, so the Senate expels him without doing the impeachment process and without the trial. This is the first time this is all going on in U.S. history.
Arguably, the Senate jumped the gun. On the other hand, there are constitutional scholars who will say it would have been improper for the House to impeach a sitting member of Congress anyway. Impeachment is seen by most people as a check, Congress's check, on the other two branches of the national government, the judiciary and the presidency, but not on itself. In fact, think about this. If the House had impeached Blunt before he'd been expelled, then theoretically he would have sat as a juror in his own trial. It just wouldn't make any sense. And so most scholars today will tell you that you cannot impeach a member of Congress. This just came up recently when I think President Trump said that we should impeach Mitt Romney. And the response was, you can't impeach a sitting senator. That's for the president. That's for the judiciary. He actually, somewhere in the middle of that, he tries to run away. They go and they get him back. Finally, he gets expelled and they just leaves town. And he comes back to Tennessee where they have no problem. They still like him. And in fact, I think he was subsequently elected to the Tennessee House or Senate, wasn't he?
That's right. It's a Tennessee Senate.
Senate, right. So he's doing well politically, but not financially. And so even then, when he declares bankruptcy and the creditors come after him, they find that he signed this house and everything in it over to his brother, which today we would call a preference or improper transfer. It's fraudulent. The guy's a fraudster from start to finish.
And before that, there's another interesting story that he gets wind that North Carolina is going to be investigating land fraud. And he sends a group of guys to the comptroller's office in North Carolina to steal the documents. And
I'm sorry, you're teaching
me something. And they get caught.
Oh.
And so he sends a second gang to burn the comptroller's office down with all the papers inside. And they get caught too. And North Carolina actually proceeds with prosecution, but Blunt still is holed up in Tennessee. He's beloved in Tennessee, and he still continues taking out credit and buying lands, even through the impeachment process, which is really a two-year process from 1797 to 1799. He's still acting as if everything is fine. This is just a bunch of Federalists on the East Coast who are playing political games here.
Did he have any support when he made these moves?
He did. The Anti-Federalists and then the Democratic Republicans, led by Thomas Jefferson, sponsor his defense. And so while Blunt is not actually physically present at his impeachment trial in 1799, refuses to leave Tennessee, even though the Senate sends their sergeant-at-arms to go get him, Blunt entertains the sergeant-at-arms, treats him very nice, and Blunt and John Sevier just say, no, you can't take William Blunt out of Tennessee. Thomas Jefferson hires lawyers and sponsors his defense, and those lawyers come up with a string of different ways to defend Blunt, one of which is that you cannot impeach a United States senator.
Right.
Which establishes a precedent for the rest of United States history.
He is the first and only, and will always be the only.
Yep. Unless people change their mind and decide that you can impeach a U.S. senator.
Yeah,
that's very unlikely you're going to see a senator impeached.
What was England's position on all of this?
Embarrassment and backpedaling and distance themselves from Blunt. It was one particular English minister who's involved in this. It's not actually members of Parliament, sitting members of Parliament. It's not King George III. It's one minister. Who's involved in this just through back channels. And so it's relatively easy for them to distance themselves from the whole Blunt affair and taking Florida and taking Louisiana.
Constitutionally, if a member of Congress were to do something similar to what Blunt did, what would be the protocol?
I think that the relevant body would probably expel him. Congress has the sole authority to govern itself under Article 1. And the courts are notoriously reluctant to interfere with that process. And so if there were a situation like Blunt's today, I would predict the Senate would probably convene and have its own little trial, if it decided to, and then vote to expel him.